seated. Our text for this morning is the epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 25. I read for you again, verse 19 and following. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, yesterday I saw someone who had just finished putting Christmas lights on the bushes around their house, had them turned on. What struck me about this most was they were wearing shorts. This illustrates the human compulsion to focus on what is coming up that we have to look forward to. Another word for this expectation of something good that is coming is hope. I have learned that people cannot live without hope. If a person owes more money on a car or a house than it's even going to be worth when it's paid off, will they keep putting money into it? Why bother? If a student is struggling in school and they don't see any chance that they're ever going to finish, that they're going to catch up, that they're going to graduate, are they going to keep working hard? I don't think so. If someone is poor, unemployed, without any hope of a good job or ever getting out of debt, they'll probably just do nothing. Someone who's experiencing anger or apathy in their marriage relationship, without any hope of reconciliation and love, probably won't bother trying. Why do anything if there's no hope of ever doing enough? Our text reminds us, however, that because of Christ, we always have hope. Therefore, there are things that we do, and we make plans for good things that we look forward to doing. Because without a plan, we still tend to do nothing. That's why today especially we are making spiritual life plans, because we have hope in Jesus' complete cleansing. And we help each other to live in love together, and we hold on together to God's faithful promises. Let's think first about how we have hope in Jesus' complete cleansing. The letter to the Hebrews says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. If you were busy yesterday, raking leaves or washing windows or cleaning the house or shopping, what did you look forward to doing? Sitting down and putting your feet up when you were done. This is what our text pictures Jesus doing in verse 12. In contrast to the Old Testament priests in verse 11, who were constantly standing up, because they had to continually keep offering the same sacrifices over and over, with no hope of ever being done in cleaning up the mess of sin, Jesus, however, sits down at the right hand of God. This is a sign that he is all done, because his once and for all sacrifice of himself on the cross was enough to take away sin, all sin, forever. We hope in God above all things because, even if there's no guarantee that things are ever going to improve in this world. And if there's no guarantee that our work is ever going to accomplish anything, we always live and work with the confident hope of the good that God Himself is going to keep on doing for us through Jesus Christ and what He has done. Our text shows us that while His work is finished, the results of that work continue on. Verse 13 says, Jesus puts His feet up even while still waiting for His enemies to be put under His feet like a footstool. This world is still full of sin and sickness and suffering and death. But because of all that Jesus has finished doing, all these things are coming to an end. Satan may keep on kicking, but it's futile because he's already been. He can shake his fist all he wants. All he is doing is rattling the chains on his handcuffs. In our own personal lives, the ongoing results of Jesus' deeds also show. Verse 14 says, we have been made perfect forever by His grace, but we are still being sanctified in our behavior. Jesus has taken away all the thorns and thistles of our sins by His forgiveness. But His forgiveness is still at work to take away the scars of that sin and the seeds of sin that continue to sprout in our lives as long as we live in this body. You might say the operation has been a success, but now we continue rehabilitation therapy. So verse 16 says, He puts His laws on our hearts and in our minds because He remembers our lawless deeds no more. Well, since Jesus has finished keeping the whole law for us, we are free from the burden and the punishment of the law. But yet it's because of the hope that this freedom gives that now obeying God is what's on our heart and on our mind. That means that we do it freely because we desire it and we choose to do it. Instead of the hopeless despair that says, why try if we're doomed anyway? Or the foolish false faith that says, well, if He's forgiven us already, why bother? Confident hope says, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's because of this hope that we help each other to live in love together. And so we read, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near. That's not talking about how many shopping days until Christmas. That's talking about Jesus coming again to fulfill all of our hopes. Without hope, we can't manage to do anything. But when we have hope in God, it fuels our energetic activity, being even more productive than putting up Christmas lights in mid-November. Having a plan, having a to-do list also helps us to be actively productive, not just running in circles. That's why I invite you to take out now, if you brought it with you, your spiritual life plan, or if you don't have it with you, look at the end of the view. At the end of the view, find one of these forms. For spiritual life plan, we're going to look at these. This is an interactive sermon today. And take a pen from the rack in the pew, too. One of the things we do to stir one another up, that is to encourage each other. Who do you know that can use some encouragement and a reminder of this wonderful hope that we have? How often do you yourself benefit from encouragement? Find the line here that talks about right in the middle. Our plan to share Christian encouragement with. Think for a minute and make a note of how you plan to be involved in fellowship and who you would hope to share Christian encouragement with. I'm going to do the same right now. besides those we know who can use encouragement, there are also those who don't even realize yet the hope that we have because of what Jesus has done for us. How many people do you know who live this life without much hope? People that you hope would sometime learn more about what God has done for us through Jesus, maybe even learning about it through you. A few weeks ago, we considered the importance of proclaiming God above all. Find the line you see here that says, speak about Christian faith too. It's a couple above what we just noted. Make note of who you hope to share your Christian faith with in this coming year. I'm going to do the same right now. An important part of our witness is the way that we live our life. A few weeks ago, we considered the importance of loving God above all things and how this is what leads to also loving others. Verse 24 in our text here says, we are to stir up one another to love. Our sanctification therapy is still a work in progress. How does our relationship with others in our lives need strengthening? Make note of how you plan to grow in your stronger in your Christian behavior. There it is, the line right between the two we've been working on. Seek to improve my behavior in. Let's make a plan there. One part of our behavior that flows from the hope that we have in God is service. Verse 24 of our text goes on, stir one another up to good deeds. What works of service to others has God equipped and empowered you to do? The Bible says He's prepared beforehand good things for us to do. What might those things be? We are equipped to do these things, partly knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's think about it. Things that we hope to do in service to others. Look just below what we filled out already and think about what you hope to do in working to help and serve. Verse 25 in our text says that as we do this, we don't neglect our meeting together. An important part of our hope is the fact that we're not all alone, but we're all in this together. Everyone who is a part of a group has an important role in guiding and suggesting and supervising and supporting the things that that group does. As a part of the group of this church, how is God giving you abilities and opportunities to be a positive influence in what happens among us as a voter, or maybe as a teacher, or a board member, or a committee member, or maybe helping to initiate something new, or as a leader of a society? Make note of how you hope to be involved in leadership. That's right under the line that we were just working on. Now, having gotten this far, it would be easy for us to start thinking already, huh, I don't know if I can really hope to do all of this. Well, we can't. That is, if we are putting our hope in ourselves, this is why we need to put our hope in God above all things. We cannot base our confidence on any promises that we ourselves make, but we hold to God's faithful promises. We read in our text, verse 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." You notice our other Bible readings for today call us to endurance through troubles. Jesus said in the gospel reading, "He who endures to the end will be saved." For us to stand firm, however, we need a firm place to stand. We have a solid place to stand in the promises of God. Children who grow up in tough neighborhoods too often end up with no hope. What can make all the difference is having a home to go to where they're safe, where they're secure, where they're loved for, and where they're provided for. In this world, we all live in a tough neighborhood, but we have a safe house, and that is what our text calls the house of God. Our text pictures the temple of God in the Old Testament, where God revealed his presence, especially in the Holy of Holies, the inner room behind a thick curtain, where only the high priest was allowed to go, and only one day a year, after completing some special sacrifices and bringing with him that blood to sprinkle in that place. And he did this with fear and trembling. But Jesus, by the sacrifice of his own blood, has opened this curtain wide for all of us to enter in with bold confidence into the presence of our powerful and loving God. In your house, I'm sure you probably treat your guests very well. You might get a drink or a snack for them from the refrigerator when they visit. But special people have what some call refrigerator privileges. That means they're not just a guest, they belong there. They can help themselves to the refrigerator. We have refrigerator privileges in God's house. We are welcome in God's house anytime because we've been given the key, which is the blood of Jesus. We are free to come into this safe house of worship. I look forward to going home every night to my house. I look forward to coming every week to God's house. A few Sundays ago, we considered the importance of desiring God above all things. Let's make note of how often we hope to worship in God's house. That's the very top line on our spiritual life plan. That won't take me long. Verse 20 in our text says, "This way has been opened up for us through Jesus Christ's flesh. He himself is the way to God," as he said in our gospel reading the other Sundays. Jesus gives us his flesh and blood in Holy Communion, which wonderfully connects us to God and his grace and his love. Let's think about how often we hope to receive that wonderful gift of Holy Communion. That's the next line. I will mention it's offered here at least every other Sunday, which is about half the weeks of the year. So, verse 22 in our text says, "Let us draw near with a true heart." We can draw near to God in our hearts all the time in prayer. Anytime, any place, with the assurance that he is going to be with us. What a wonderful privilege to have. Let's make note of how much time we hope to spend drawing near to God in prayer. That's the next, the next one down. Oh, there it is, right underneath expressing my faith. And I'm going to mark how many minutes I plan to spend each day, although it could be done by week. Verse 23 in our text says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope." Because our hope is based on the promises in God's Word, the way we hold fast that hope is by holding fast to what God tells us in His Word. And it says we hold fast our confession. The word confession means agreeing together. Studying God's Word together. Agreeing together on what it is saying to us. That's how we hold on to God's Word, which is what holds on to us and keeps us steady. So let's make note of how much time we hope to spend in study of God's Word, including group study. I'm going to go back just a line or two to make some notes on that. Last Sunday, we considered the importance of trusting in God above all things. We're going to finish our spiritual life plans off by making note of how we hope to return to God those financial gifts that He has entrusted to us for use in His service. What we're doing is an act of bold confidence. And we can have bold confidence because none of what we hope for is accomplished by our own abilities or achievements. This is the main point of what we're talking about today. We have hope because of what God Himself continues to do for us, including His faithful promises for the future. All we have to do is hold on to His wonderful gifts for us. We have hope because of Jesus' complete cleansing, His sacrifice, which He has accomplished, and which has a continuing effect on our lives. And we help each other to live in love together, because in meeting together, we encourage one another to love and good deeds as we hold on to that hope. And so together, we hold on to hope in God's faithful promises, which we continue to receive through His Word and His sacraments. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.